Let's pray together. God, we are so very thankful that you afford us these few moments together. We were indeed glad when they said unto us that we could enter into this place with thanksgiving and into these courts with our praise. And what we bring, Lord, is the best we have. Praying, God, that it will get better, that we would praise you better, we will love you better, we will give better, go out from this place and do better. We know that better is part of your character. It's one of your attributes. You make everything better. You take death and bring life. You take sickness, you bring healing. You take suffering, replace it with joy. You take sorrow and bring laughter. When we were lost, you found us. When we were blind, you gave us sight. You make it better. And even when it lingers from one season to another, you still make it better. It doesn't hurt as much. We're not crying as much. We don't feel like we used to. You just make it better. And sometimes, Lord, better isn't really that big. It's just the small versions of better that encourage us so much. And so, God, we're honored again to be in the place where better is operational. It is right before us. We will just trust a little more, go a little further, hold on a little tighter, wait a little longer. It's going to get better. And I suppose that's what the writer meant when he declared that weeping may endure for the night, but that joy was going to show up in that time span called morning. And Lord, we've lived long enough to know that morning doesn't work by the clock, but by the hand of God. Sometimes our midnights don't come at 12. Sometimes the early morning doesn't come at dawn. But Lord, when you say so, it's morning. So we are reminded that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So simply, Lord, give us back our joy. For that mother or father, for that child, neighbor, friend, and even the stranger, just give us back our joy. Now again, we pray that you would open our eyes and our ears and make our hearts ready. We need a word from you. We've heard from the congressman, the senator, the president, heard from the governor, the mayor. We've heard from our mothers and fathers, our brothers and sisters. Even folk we weren't even talking to had something to say. Now, Lord, in this sacred place, in this sanctuary, the only voice we want to hear is that of our Lord and our Savior. Samuel was instructed by Eli, this is our reply, this is our request. Speak, Lord, my servants heareth thee. Let your voice be louder than anything, louder than the pain, louder than the debts we have incurred, louder than the disappointments, louder than the troubled waters that rage all around us. Louder, that we might hear you. And then when we have heard you, give us the discipline, the wherewithal to do what we have heard. In Jesus' name we do pray. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Come on and bless the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come on, you can do this. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Amen. Grab your Bibles. Luke chapter 9. I said I was going to go back and finish. And so I am. Luke 9. We lift it up for the centralization of preaching, verse 23. The story evolves from verse all the way over to verse 27, actually, but we wanted to help some folk get surrendered. And so, again, we'll lift up verse 23 from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Simply, the Lord declares unto us, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. God bless you. You may be seated. Once again, I need you to trouble the person next to you. After you trouble them this time, I got it from here. But if you look at them and just say, neighbor, pastor is going to preach. So you say you've surrendered. Amen. You say you've surrendered. And during the Vietnam War, our country was involved in, we became more acquainted with the term prisoner of war. We also became familiar with the term missing in action. And more regrettably, and to the pain of many families, we became familiar with the term killed in action. They became simple acronyms, KIA, MIA, and POW. To be a prisoner of war, the enemy is supposed to abide by a certain set of guidelines. In military, we have what's called a status of forces agreement. And that agreement simply says that we catch one of yours, we'll treat them fair. You catch one of ours, you'll treat them fair. In that agreement are such things that are seemingly unimportant, but things that you can practice your religion while a prisoner of war. You're entitled to food, a place to lay down and sleep. You're entitled to get some sleep. They cannot keep you up 24 hours a day, and they've got to give you some recreation. In light of what we know now concerning our prisoners of war, that didn't always happen. God bless you. You get more response sneezing than I get preaching. Maybe I ought to sneeze more. But in light of what we learned, it was disturbing. But then there's a lighter side, Chris. There was a program that used to come on television back in the day called Hogan's Heroes. They were all held captive as prisoners of war at Starlock 13. Colonel Klink was the prison commander, a bumbling imbecile. The sergeant of the guard was Sergeant Schultz, who never seemed to know nothing. The brigade commander was General Hofstetler, who would come by every now and then just to drive Klink crazy. But if you were going to be a prisoner of war, Starlock 13, in the words of Oliver Wendell Douglas and Lisa Douglas, was the place to be. These guys went in and out of the prison like some folk leave their house in the morning and come back. And they were all over Europe. They ate the best of foods. They had it made. They had tunnels. They had Cartier service. Anything they needed, they knew how to get it. And so being a prisoner of war at Starlock 13 probably wasn't so bad. But there is a condition that is required of every prisoner of war. And the first condition, and it's not one that you would readily want to meet, but it is a condition that is required in order for you to be a prisoner of war, and that is you must surrender. If you fail to surrender, you don't get to be a prisoner of war. You're probably killed in action. And so you have to surrender. You don't want to surrender. You have to surrender. Every soldier is given in training a set of parameters and things to do to try not to be a prisoner of war. To shoot, move, and communicate, to evade the enemy, all of those things. But when you're captured, you have to surrender. And so it is, I read my Bible. And I read this line in my Bible, Dr. Dixon, and I thought it would relate to where we're going. The Bible says that Jesus comes to set the captives free. Some of y'all don't know where I'm at yet. In order to be a prisoner, you have to be captured. And once you're captured, you're going to have to give some indicator that you know you've been captured. In some of the old war movies, you'd see they tie a white handkerchief on the end of a bayonet encrusted weapon and wave it, and they would be ordered to come out and to have their hands up. There's a posture that you take when you're captured. There's a process that begins when you're captured. There's a certain placement that happens. Y'all don't see it yet. When you're captured. And so the Bible says, this good book right here, the Bible says that he came to set the captives free. In other words, you're already captured. The issue is, who caught you? And whoever caught you, how they treat you. And so it is in the body of Christ, the Lord comes to set the captives free, but yet to capture them again. Oh, okay, y'all missed it. Because even if you're under the enemy's control, there are rules. And if you're in the control of the garrison, there are rules. It all depends on who has captured you. Some of us in the body of Christ say we surrendered, but we don't live like we surrendered. We say we surrendered. We say we gave up. And some of y'all got a list of stuff y'all gave up. I'm not really interested in your proclivities, your habits, your vicissitudes. I'm not interested in none of that stuff. I just want to know about your relationship with the Lord. I want to know, do you love Jesus? I want to know, have you crowned him King of Kings and Lord of Lords? I want to know, have you bowed down to him? I want to see how many of y'all ain't saying nothing. I need to know, whom
in the room is surrender. And you can't speak for nobody on your pew right along through here. You got to be able to stand on your own bottom and give your own reply, because everybody in the church ain't in Christ. See how quiet it is, right? You have been captured. You want to live, you got to do right by your captors. Amen. You try to escape, we're going to shoot you. Catch you climbing the fence, we're going to shoot you. Catch you digging a tunnel, we're going to shoot you. We ain't going to be nice to you, because we got you and you ought to comply now. You captured. Well, okay, Pastor. You say we captured. Yes, I say you captured. Well, better yet, you said you was captured. You came in today with your hands up, high and lifted up. Okay, some of y'all missed that one right there. But you came in freely. Said you was on the Lord's side, and said you promised him that I would serve him till I die. You captured. You belong to the Lord. The Bible says we are not our own. Here's what Paul says. I'll be done directly. Paul says, I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord. I like that about Paul. Paul got this thing figured out. Paul figured it out. If I'm going to go on being Saul, I'm going to die. And when I die, I'm going to have to face the judgment. I can live now as Paul, a prisoner, and when I die, I'm going to face the judgment. But I got a better outcome if I die as a prisoner of God rather than a combatant of God. Here's what Jesus said. Now catch it. No, go back and look at it. Jesus said, why are you kicking against me? That's a combatant. Paul realized, he said, you know, Paul, it ain't going to do you no good. You kicking against me, it ain't going to work out for you. But if you join me, you come under my authority, you come under my reign, it's going to work out for you. How many know Jesus will work it out? Yeah, okay, okay, good, good, good. You are now a prisoner of the Lord. We read you your prisoner right. We got the agreement understood. But here's what you need to understand. When you surrender to God, you actually benefit for better. Okay, three of y'all know that. You are not losing as a prisoner of the Lord. You're actually gaining. You are actually coming out on the up and up. You are actually on the sunny side of things. Your meals are going to taste better. Your outlook going to be brighter. You don't have a care in the world. That's why Paul could say, and my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory, and his riches are inexpendable. You can't run out of this. Here's why being a prisoner is good. You don't have to worry about nothing. They take care of you. You are in Stalag 13. You are in a place where it's good. In fact, there is a mindset that happens to some prisoners that they are treated so well when it's time to go, they don't want to go. They don't want to leave. They want to stay because it's so good here. You are surrendered now. You're a prisoner of God. Okay, three of y'all said yes. You are in a situation now where you have to determine how your stay is going to go. You can keep trying to escape, but where are you going? You can keep fighting against the authority, but you're going to lose. You can't beat God. Okay, see, I put this down here, and I put a note. One of the problems we have in the church is too many people think God is salt. God is a warrior. See how many of y'all don't believe that? Oh, y'all think God is just an ice cream shop. with 31 flavors. No, God is a warrior. And let me tell you why God is a warrior. God fought for you. He died for you. He gave up some stuff for you. That ain't no soft God right there. That ain't no perm, blue eye hanging on the wall God. That's a bloody, battered, beaten God. But he was never defeated. Inasmuch as he died for you, he got up for you. That ought to mean something. That ought to mean something. And he said, now, come on over here with me. And I like the way he said, doesn't sound like to me he's really asking you. Sound like me, he's telling. See, that's another thing. I put that note in here, too. Some of y'all think God is always trying to negotiate with y'all. God ain't negotiating. God issuing orders. Y'all sitting around thinking God just saying, you, well, if it's all right with you, you come Sunday, you coming back? That ain't God. No. And a whole lot of y'all, when you do get to see him, you're going to be sorry for yourself. You're going to say, Lord, I sure misjudge you. You think God talk like Barney Fife. Ain't got no bullets in his gun. No, that ain't God. Mm-mm. No, my God is a Rambo kind of God. Mad. Just want to settle some business with some folk. You know, you drew first blood. Okay, some of y'all don't go to the movies. You're a prisoner. You gotta surrender. And so when you come to the house of God, you're not hanging out with your fellas. This ain't the girls' club. This is headquarters. We coming in to get some orders, to be told what to do. We coming in to find out whether we in ship shape or not. We coming in to find out whether we fit to fight. We coming in to make sure that we are on point with our assignment. We're looking up on the duty roster to see what our assignment is. We ain't looking for no R&R. People come to church talking about having a good time. You ought to leave here tired. You ought to leave here wore out. Y'all got it wrong. You ain't on, this ain't Condé Nast. This ain't the Caribbean Club. This is a camp. This is a war camp. And you didn't get here all by yourself. You got captured. That's why the old folks said, I was sinking deep in sin, but the master of the sea, God captured y'all. You were guilty. Look at the name, say guilty. Look at another, say guilty. No innocent people in here. Everybody guilty. Somebody ought to be crying right now. Lord, have mercy. Guilty. I know I'm guilty. That's why I don't talk to y'all. Because we get to talk about our levels of guilt. Some of y'all ain't going to like me. Y'all be, Lord, the pastor's guilty. I ain't know he done all that. Yes, guilty. I was a rascal, a scoundrel. Still keep some in reserve. But I'm guilty. That's why I do as I'm told. Because I don't want to bring no more guilt on myself. I know the Lord saved me. I know the Lord saved me. I know the Lord saved. I know the Lord saved me. And he didn't save me because I was squeaky clean. He saved me because I was a wretch in need of saving. Guilty in the morning, guilty in the evening, guilty when the sun go down. But thanks be unto God, he washed me. Y'all ain't talking to me. He washed me. Why? Because I was dirty. And what did he say? I'll do it. I come in here to get my orders. And I'm glad to know he still want to use me. That some of y'all ought to get with that. I'm thankful he still want to use me. He could have picked a more perfect pastor, but he picked me. Nudge your neighbor and to say, I am so grateful that he still uses people like me. Yeah, some of y'all ain't never done nothing, but that's because you just boned yesterday. The rest of us been around a little while. We just glad to be in the service one more time. Didn't have to let me live. So we in camp now, and we understand we got to do some stuff. Now, one of the rules of being a prisoner, and I'll be done here. One of the rules of being a prisoner is you have to come when they call you. Jesus said, and again, you got to stop being selfish. You're under orders. When I call you, you come. Here's what the Hebrew writer says. Y'all know it. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, such as we see that the times are as they are. We are in perilous times. If there's any time the church ought to be coming together, it's now. No, y'all didn't hear me. I'm telling you now, you ain't seen nothing yet. When you have a president who sits in the White House and will blatantly, falsely lie out of both sides of his mouth and accuse a former sitting president of some felonious crime with no evidence. When you have people who are around you in your inner circle that are known crooks and derelicts, you got a problem. When you call other countries and start wars and rumors of war, and you wave sabers and rattle sabers and show weapons of force for no good reason, we are in trouble. Trouble. Pray without ceasing. It ain't got nothing to do with political lines. Bombs don't know nothing about Republicans, the Democrats, the Green Tea Party. When it comes to your door, it don't care what affiliation you are. Pray. We're in trouble. And not only are we in trouble on the political front, we're in trouble on the religious front. This week alone, I got two calls from two pastors who walked away from their churches. One here local. Just walk. Say, I can't do it no more. They don't want to come to Bible study. They don't want to come to church. They don't care. I can't do it no more. I'm just going to stay home and sit down and get myself together. I said, listen, you need to join a church then. Don't just sit home. Get up Sunday morning and go worship. Because it was never about people. It was always about your service to the Lord. And if you let them folk get you out of your reasonable service, you're going to die a miserable death till you die. And every death don't mean you go to the funeral parlor. Sometimes you die while you think you're still alive. You better get into the house of God and serve him, because you're a prisoner and you owe him that. Just walking away, they just quit. But you owe God. You come when he calls you. You are under orders to come. And then you understand that when you are called to come, you have to do what you're told. See, a whole lot of us come to church and don't do what we're told. And so to keep from worrying about being told to do, we just don't come. Now, that don't mean the church ain't going to still be there. You just ain't in it. You like the little boy that fell out the wagon. You ain't in it. Y'all missed that one, too. He reminds them that there are some criteria. When you go to prison camp, you got to learn camp rules. How many of y'all ever been to summer camp? Got some highfalutin black folk here. I didn't go to summer camp. I just went to the park more often. Amen. We just all met there about the same time after we ate our breakfast. You camp folk make me sick. But anyway, if you go to camp, they tell you the rules. They say this is what you do and don't. And so it is when you come into the body of Christ as a prisoner, you need to know the rules. And so it is, here's the point. You got to listen in order to learn. And in order to learn, there you go. You got to listen. So here's what Jesus says alone, and I'm done. This is why a lot of us in the church say we surrendered, but can't show we surrendered. You cannot be in this camp and be ignorant concerning the things of God. Let me tell you what happened to prisoners who don't obey the rules. They suffer. They get beat with many stripes. They don't get to eat like you eat. They don't get to sleep like you sleep. They don't get the privileges that you get. And so if you understand the gravitas of being a prisoner, notice I throw that big word in there, you have to play by the rules. But you can't play by the rules if you haven't learned the rules. Nudge your neighbor and say, learn the rules. Here's the rule. First rule is a simple rule. You must love the Lord your God with all some. Do the best you can. Hang in there. You must. Nudge your neighbor and say, you know, I've been meaning to tell you this, but he's talking to you. You must. You and you and you. Well, let's just solve it. Everybody that's a you, raise your hand. Okay, that's everybody. All right. Young fella, you didn't raise your hand. I saw you. You got a haircut like that. I'm going to see you. You must. This is, see, again, that's the rule. You don't get to flake out on that one. Let me tell you something. If you don't get the first one right, you ain't going to get none of them right. What do you mean? Because the Bible said that is the first and great commandment. Some of y'all don't love the Lord. I'm about finished. The problem is not whether or not you can sit here for my 15-minute preaching. That ain't the problem. Darren, that ain't the problem. That ain't the problem. No, the problem, that ain't the problem. The problem ain't that we don't have a big church. That ain't a problem. The problem ain't that we don't have enough for the young people to do, or that we don't have this, that, and the other knick-knack, paddywhack. No, 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 no. Problem is, some of y'all not really sure who. Because wheat and tare look about the same. I wish I had a little meat. I should do a DNA test. But I can tell you this. I suspect strongly that the biggest problem that we have around here is that a few of y'all, not really sure, but I suspect don't love the Lord. That's the problem. The problem ain't got nothing to do with the windows or the chandelier. Ain't got nothing. No. And all of those are just surface treatments. We can take chandeliers out and Jesus still be Lord. We can take the carpet up, Jesus still be Lord. We can build a brand new building and Jesus will still be Lord. We can do a whole lot of surface treatment. Luther Vandross put it this way, a room is still a room. Even, okay, thank you. I was going to get to that chair is still a chair because I like that part. But here's my point. Ain't nothing wrong with God loving you. But it's some show suspicious about you loving God. Come on, talk to me. I can see God love you. He woke you up this morning. I can see God love you. You got your hair dyed, fried, and thrown to the side. I can see God love you. I looked at your nails. I saw your car. I saw your children. I saw you at the store. I see you breathing. I can see that he loves you. But how am I going to know you love him if you don't serve him? If you don't praise him? If you don't obey him? If you don't follow him? Is something wrong with that? So rule is, rule number one, you must nudge your neighbor again. Tell him, I told you he was talking to you. The man all up in your stuff, and you sitting here playing on your phone, that's just rude. The man looking right at you, and you acting like you don't hear him. He up there yelling the thing too loud and all because you look at him, he talking to you. The man got you dead to rights. You around here posting on Facebook who you love. What about Jesus? You must. That's the rule. Listen to the rule. Learn the rule. Live by the rule. You must love the Lord thy God. Jesus made it personal. When he said, I am the Lord your God. When David said, the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord didn't say, I object. He said, go ahead, David. You're talking right, boy. You must love him. Now, the question is, why don't you love him? Why don't you? Jesus says, if you really want this thing, here's what you got to do. Follow the rules. Obey my teaching. You know, we can leave here in a minute. You know, God ain't never asked us to do nothing that he hadn't already showed us how to do it. He showed us how to love him by the love he had for his Father. He showed us how to follow the Father so we can follow him. He showed us how to use the gifts of spiritual empowerment by the way he let the Father use him. He said, don't worry about leaving here because I'm going to prepare a place for you because where my Father and I are already established, we're going to be waiting for you. All you got to do is follow me. But you can't follow me if you don't love me. How many know that there are some folk you ain't going around the corner with because you don't love them? Amen. Some people, they can hang out all they want to. But until you love them, you just hanging out. Come and go with me. Oh, that's different. Sorry. You do know. I'm here. I'm checking in right now. Let me sign it. Here it is. Two particulars to loving him that are critical in the surrendered life. One is that you must understand devotion. We've been talking about it. I told you I was going to put it in the preach. You got to understand devotion. Here's what Titus book reminds us. He gave his life. There you go. Thank you, Jesse. I was hoping somebody would put that. That's what you need to understand. I don't know why you holding back on God like that. I don't know why you're so afraid to praise him and jump up and down and run and clap and give him and serve him. He gave his life for us. Okay, y'all still didn't hear me? Because that's where somebody in the church ought to holler, "You got that right, preacher." No, it's too late now. The moment is gone. The thrill is gone. This is what he said. He said, listen to me, Titus. Don't you mess your relationship with God up. Don't you get out there and think you can't do this thing. He gave his life for us. Here's what I like. Not some of us. Not one, two of y'all. Not just for the pastor, the preacher, the deacon, the elder, the overseer. He died for us. And then he said this, so that he can free us from every kind of sin. Everything necessary to cleanse us from the unrighteousness of this world, that we can know and live and rejoice and enjoy the righteousness of the kingdom. That's why the writer said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom the Lord hath redeemed with a mighty hand. God didn't bring you out weak. God didn't bring you out wimpy. God didn't bring you out short. He brought you out with a mighty hand. You ought to live mighty. You ought to serve mighty. Your God is an awesome God. Saved you. Like this, he said, to make us his very own people. For once we were not a people, but we are now. Nothing your neighbor say, I am somebody. The Lord made it so. Yeah, I was alone and idle. I was a sinner too, but I heard a voice from heaven. He called me. No, okay, you ain't got to answer. He called me. I heard my name. Come unto me, Leroy Mitchell, because you're heavy laden and I'll give you rest. Come out of the darkness, Leroy Mitchell, and into the marvelous light. Come taste and see, Leroy Mitchell, that the Lord is good. Come out of it. Come up to it because I saved you. I'll be his prisoner. I'll do anything he tells me to do. But you got to be devoted to him because you love him. Then lastly, there is a sense and a need of dedication. Dedication. Some of us, we don't do dedication. No. Got a whole lot of meanings. I won't labor you. With all of them, Sandra, Laura, Lewis, Pat, all you educated people, reading, writing, arithmetic regiment, you go over all them definitions of what dedication means. I ain't got time. I've only got 3 minutes left in my 15-minute allotment. But I understand it now. I didn't know why. I couldn't wrap my mind around why Jesus kept going. Especially when they told him, they're gonna kill us when we get back down yonder. He said, I know. I couldn't understand, Dr. Dixon, when he said we must needs go through Samaria. There was somebody waiting. I didn't understand why he didn't call down an army when he just faced his oppressors alone, but not alone. He was just dedicated. One of the dictionary definitions, I thought I'd write it down, it says it is an act or right of dedicating to a divine being or sacred use. I saw it. He wanted God to use it. He was God's prisoner. He had surrendered. He had nothing else on his agenda. He knew that nobody else could do it. The sacred use. He wanted God to get the glory by him giving glory to God. That's a surrendered life. A surrendered life is when I'm dedicated so that God can use me. So that when God calls me, I'll be there. When God says go, I'll go. When God says stop, I'll stop. When God says run, I'll run. Whatever he says, I'll do it. Because I'm dedicated. Folk may not understand why you get up like you do and why you go and give like you do. Folk may not understand why you changing light bulbs and sweeping the parking lot and showing up to that little old prayer meeting. But I'm dedicated. Because it is an act or right of something that means something to me because of someone who did something for me that I couldn't do for myself. He saved me. And so Peter said, Lord, I like this. He said, I'm ready to go to prison with you. Jesus smiles at him. He said, Lord, I'm ready to die with you. Lord smiles at him. He said, Peter, you don't get it. He said, I know you mean well. You really do. But son, there are some things yet that you haven't gone through. And see, I know some of y'all right along here now, you saying, oh yeah, Peter failed. But I can tell you one thing about Peter falling. It gave him an opportunity to get up. Some of y'all ain't gonna never have to worry about falling. Because y'all ain't going to even try. But I'm telling you here and now that if you're going to live a surrendered life, it's a good life. If you just give God the opportunity to lock you down in the prison of his love, it's a good life. If you trust God one more time with something you couldn't trust nobody else with, that's your life. You're going to discover that the Lord is a great keeper. He's a strong deliverer. He's a rock in a weary land. He's water in dry places. He's help when you need help. You will stand and declare that I love the Lord. He heard my cry, and I promised him that I would serve him till I die. You'll get on the battlefield for him. You'll carry a cross for him. You'll sharpen your sword for him. Is there anybody that wants to be a prisoner for the Lord? Will you lift up your hands, lift up your voice, and say, Lord, I yield. I surrender all and all to thee, my blessed Savior. Grandma said, I want to be at the meeting when all the saints gather. You have to be surrendered to get to that meeting. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going. But if you want to go to that meeting, you have to lay down some things. You're going to have to go and sin no more to get that meeting. Ain't going to be no knock. No secret handshake, no passwords. All you gotta have is the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood. Anybody know it still works? You gotta go now. Right at my limit. You gotta be dedicated. Now, I put down right here, Deacon Davis, that 3 points to being dedicated. One is you give up choice. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, Sandra, I'm glad you asked. You don't get to choose no more where you come and go or what you do. You give up choice. You just do what you're told. And and there are no debates. Second thing is, you now come under full compliance. Whatever he says, I'll do it. Love my neighbor, yep. Love my wife, love my... You know, I told you this long time ago, Deacon Walker, I told him, when you get your business straight with God, everybody is going to be the beneficiary. Your wife going to benefit, your children going to benefit, your neighbor's going to benefit. When you do full compliance, everybody going to say you're wonderful. Amen. Full compliance. In other words, from Genesis to Revelation, the answer is, oh, three of y'all got it. That proves that we need to work on full compliance. I'll try one more time. From Genesis to Revelation. Well, that's right. Y'all done read the cheat sheet now. It don't matter. But the answer is, I can't put up with so-and-so. That's not the answer. I can't be giving my money every Sunday. That's not the answer. I got other things to do. That's not the answer. What is the answer? Notice everybody ain't said yes yet. Full compliance. No choice. Anything the Lord say, the answer is?
Yes.
Still ain't everybody. No. Now, Father, I know everybody was talking when they came in here. Don't get mute now. Full compliance. And then the third requirement, and we're done, is consecration. You got to be holy. Notice I ain't getting a whole lot of amen right there. Consecration. Got to be holy. Did I say something wrong? I didn't cuss, did I? Sometimes they slip out. They going to change my medicine next week. They going to up the dosage because I got that thing that happens. It's a syndrome. You know you're all right whenever you can identify what you have as a syndrome, they have to let you get away with it. And so it's I got that. But I didn't use it just then. I'm saying I'm done, but listen. Marcello, listen. You got to be holy. My question to that is this. What's wrong with that? Do you really think being holy is losing? Some of y'all think if you're holy, you can't play bid whist. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. It's just that when you holy and play big whiz and you run a Boston, you can't say some things once you complete the Boston. You can still stand up and do this and slam the cards and all, but it's what when the card hit the table is what you say. It's got to be different. You can go 10 for 2 and you can still go to parties and be holy. You can still go to a concert. You can go to Las Vegas. You can do a whole lot. Listen, being holy doesn't make it worse. It makes it better. 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 It's going to get better. I ain't do it no worse than y'all did. So holy. Now, consecration, and I'm done. Because that's where the church really makes its biggest mistake. Some of us do choice, okay. Some of us do compliance. But that holiness is where we're breaking off at. Because we are still thinking to ourselves, it's our thing, we can do what us want to do. God is holy. You got to be holy. This camp is of holiness. It's not about the don't list. It's about the do list. The do list. Just do this. And you will meet holiness face on. God will be so happy with you. And you'll be showing forth a surrendered life. Dedication is necessary. Devotion is necessary. And then the last one, and I didn't have enough time because I was right at the 15-minute mark, but I want to tell you, it takes discipline. Some of y'all are inconsistent because you lack discipline. You walk, mark my word, I told y'all one time, take a picture of your section, and then next Sunday, look at the picture and see who missed it. It takes discipline to serve the Lord. Yeah. And some of y'all don't give yourself enough credit because you do have some discipline. It's just that you're not applying it in the right places. It takes discipline to go to your job every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It takes discipline to feed your kids. But you, when it comes to God, because you don't have a consecrated approach, you miss discipline and the holiness that comes with that. Because I trust this in as much as I trust anything. I know all of us know how to do what we want to do. Oh, yeah. Everybody in here probably knew this. Now, I'm grown. I'm 3 times 7. That's the only math you know. But let me tell you this. I'm done. Let me tell you this. Discipline is one of the character traits of the surrendered. Because we understand who we surrendered to. I can't live without him. I'm not trying to live outside the gate. I'm coming on in. And I'm staying. If you want to be surrendered, if you really want to be surrendered, you're going to have to loosen lead, listen and learn. Then you're going to have to get the sub points. You're going to have to be devoted. You have to understand dedication. But you're going to have to exercise some discipline. Mark my word. Some folk in here right now won't be back Sunday. It ain't because they're going to be dead and sleeping in their grave. They're just going to choose not to come back. If some stuff going to happen this week that's going to put you out of compliance. And thirdly, some of you are going to fail to operate in a consecrated way because you ain't in church on Sunday. I'm out of church. You do know when you leave the church, you don't leave the church. You actually taking it with you. Now, some of y'all got it in a smaller box than others, but you do know you the roving church. The Lord is everywhere. Never sleeps nor slumber. He see you and know how he gifted you. How many of you know you gifted? All y'all hand ought to go up. When he ascended, he gave gifts to men and women. Nudge your neighbor and say, oh, you got something. Your problem is you just don't use it. That's how you, when you got something, you use it. All right, I'm done. Let's stand up together. We got to go. 15 minutes and 38 seconds right on the dot. Don't sit in, Eric. Keep going. Amen. Listen, you can't just say you surrender. You got to show it. You got to learn how to live this life. Don't let being in the body of Christ be your least skilled activity. Learn of him. Man, I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm telling you, I don't know about y'all. And being saved, it is not so much about the exemptions. It's about the inclusives. See, when you're saved, God allows you into some stuff. And it ain't about being perfect. I don't suggest I'll ever be perfect. Matter of fact, I don't even want none of my friends to be perfect. I want all my friends to be like me. Real. God works on me all the time. I'm just like an old car. Every time you put a new part on, something else breaks. God always got my hood up, and always, you know, looking up under carriage and see what that is. God always hearing another noise out of me. We'll be going down the highway just nice, and Lord had to turn the radio down and say, what was that? Any of y'all ever had that happen? Yeah. That's how I am, me and God. I'm just old patchwork. I'm not a Bentley. I'm a 1969 Ford LTD Broham. And please know that word is not Broham. It's Brome. Y'all messed it up in the hood. Y'all trying to make it sound deep. That's a Broham. No, it's not. But I know God working on me. But I appreciate the fact that he thinks I'm still worth working on. I'm not at the salvage yard. I'm in a repair facility. Because some people have undervalued me. Don't let anybody undervalue you. Look at them and tell, don't play me short. God doesn't put too much in me. Amen. One more bad incident and I might be totaled by the insurance company, but the assurance company going to say, no, put him back on the road. I may not be able to get insurance, but I can get assurance. And I just surrendered. I gave it. I trust God. I talked to my preacher friends. They called me. One called me on a Thursday. The other one called me on a Tuesday. It broke my heart. Great guys, man. They just broke. They just broke. And one of their churches looks a lot like ours. These ain't no poor little not in the boondock churches. These guys stood on the wall a while. It's got broken. And I told him, just go back to the default code. What is your reasonable service to the Lord? That's all you got to do. Always hit the reset button. I have Dish Network. Every now and then when the weather gets crazy, you know, my TV will freeze. And it bothers me. And you call Dish and they ask you the same question. Before a technician comes on the line, please try these few simple steps. Hit your reset button. Wait 30 seconds. And usually it does work. But you just got to wait on all that to happen, you know. But aren't you glad that there is a reset button? You don't have to trash the whole thing and just hit the go back to the default code. Let God do it again in your life. You are not too far gone yet. You know how I know? You're still breathing. The enemies of God are in for a rude awakening. I'd rather be the Lord's friend. Amen. I am a friend of God. He's my friend. And you're standing here today. It's time to go. But please understand, don't be semi-surrendered. Don't be somewhat surrendered. Surrender. Just let God have it. And then when you surrender, learn how to live surrender. God's going to take care of you. He knows everything you need, knows everything about you. You are not an embarrassment to God. You're not a major disappointment. And when people say that to you, say, okay. Walk by two steps, turn around and say, oh, but by the way, you're not God. Because if I'm still walking, God is saying it's still somewhere I'm trying to go. If I'm still breathing, God is saying there's still something to get out of you. Don't ever forget whose you are. But God will take you as a surrendered vessel. Just don't keep kicking against the bricks. Devote your life. He died for you. He gave his life. Be dedicated. I know whom I believe, and I know why I do it. And then exercise some discipline. You can't just live raggedy. Got to get some things in order. Got to dress it up, get it right. Because God loves you too much for you not to love him back. If you love him back, you're going to do some things. You're going to let him make the choices. You're going to live in full compliance. And you're going to be consecrated. Being holy is wonderful. You sleep better when you're holy. Everything tastes better. Amen. That's why the angels are just going back and forth all day, every day, saying the same thing over and over. Holy, holy, holy. They love it. And you ought to love it too. And you ain't going to go back and forth all day because you get tired. But at least be holy. Amen. If you're here today and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, my invitation to you as pastor of this great church is that you would come now and give your life to Christ. That you would surrender. You are captive. You're a prisoner now. You're not your own. You don't live as an independent contractor. You can't just do your thing no more. You're in the kingdom of God. We have a sovereign. And you have to be subject to that. And so you ought to come give your life to Christ. I would. I did. Worked out for me. My life got a whole lot better. When I started learning and listening, and you know, I think everybody started out playing church. Oh, yeah, I just did what they told me to do. After a while, it hit me. It's something to this. How many know it's something to this? Yeah. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. So you'll come now. You're not going to have to quit your job. You're not going to all of a sudden have a new set of friends. Pretty much going back to the same house you left. You know, you're going to have to drive the same car for a while. Ain't much going to really change initially. And really, when the changes start happening, there'll be changes generated in you. Because you can't change people around you. You can't. That's why you got to be separate and come out from among them. Sometimes when we're trying to get our business straight with God, we have too much business with other people. We got to cut some of them business ties and get more in line with the Lord. That's consecration. That's compliance. So if you're here today and you've not done that, you ought to come. And then secondly, I want to say this to you. Don't keep beating yourself up about coming short. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Only difference between folk who got their head down and folk who got their head up is that folk who got their head up know which way they're looking. Folk who keeping their head down don't know where they're going. Just go outside, you can tell. The Lord will save you. You can't save yourself. Just trust in the Lord. Come on back. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I made some mistakes, but I want to get back in there. So you can return unto the Lord. How shall we return? We repent. Make our confession to God. You say, Lord, I'm sorry. I can't remember all of the stuff, but you know. But Lord, I want to start over again. I want to try. Well, the song, I can't remember the artist right now, Harmony, Jess, y'all know, but that little song, they say, baby, come back. You can blame it all on me. The Lord will take all of it. He'll take all of the guilt and shame. Just come on back. You can blame it all on whomever. But he'll take you. He'll take you. And then lastly, our doors are open as a subcontracting place for the kingdom. We just one of them little churches out there doing the Lord's work. And if you want to join our ministry, our doors are open to you. That you can become a disciple with us at the Greater Brookville Church. We're not the Salvation Church. We're just an entity of the Salvation Church. We're his church. We're not our own church. And you need a church. You need a family. You need a surrounding. You need a place. And our doors are open and you can be a part of that if you'll come. If you'll come. Now, if everybody's good now and you all know your surrendered business is straight, you should have a good day the rest of the day. You should. Now, if you leave out of here, as my mama used to say, if it's a lie, you told it. But I'm telling you, you got to be surrendered in order to get these benefits.
So we invite you to come one more time. We'll open the doors again and say that you can come, give your life to Christ, be saved. You can be reconciled, and you can re-enlist with the Lord and get back out there. And then you can join the local church as a disciple. We don't do membership. We do discipleship, because that's what he calls for. That's full compliance. Your disciple. That sounds better to him, a disciple. Amen. I like that. All right. If everything in your house is in order, and I pray that it is so. Now, I don't know about you, but I always need prayer. I find myself praying more and more now. Ain't wrong with it. Ain't nothing wrong with it at all. So I want to ask you to come and pray with us as we get ready to go and take care of some Sunday business. The Lord gave us another pretty day. Could have been snow out there and ice. But our neighbors to the south of us, you know, you blessed when in the south the weather's worse than it is in you in the north. That's pretty good weather right there. God's been good to us today. Got to come to church. Yes, ma'am. Strong name. Need more Francis's in the world. Amen. We'll do it. Yes, we'll do it. Where's Sister Nyland? Oh, there she is right there. Sister Nyland, slide on over toward the middle. Come on, baby girl, you're in the right place. Step forward, slide right there next to Sister Nyland. These two ladies are warriors, fighting a good fight. Sister Nowlin is starting a new series of treatments, and maybe I forget your name more than I remember my own. Shanisha. Oh, I'm going to forget it. I'm just getting it in while I can get it in, because I'm going to forget it. But she started a new series a little while back, and I think you're in about the second one. Yeah, so see, these ladies are fighting. And see, some of y'all, it ain't got nothing to do all day long. Y'all is blessed and highly favored. But I need you to be praying for these ladies while they fight. When you wake up in the morning, if you can't remember their name, just Lord, them two ladies that was up there. He know, he see everything. Now, most of y'all remember Sister Nowlin and Shanisha. She's right there. I just usually say Sister Brogan's granddaughter. And the Lord said, okay, I got you. Hosea, yeah, that's what I can remember. You know, but I'm getting it. And so I need you to pray for them without ceasing. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Lucille ain't just your friend. Lucille, our friend too. No, you did. No, we ain't gonna let you get away with that. That's our friend. That's my girl, Lucille. Yeah, tell her we said good afternoon as well. Yes. Listen, let me tell you something. Prayer works. Prayer works. And I want you to remember to pray for Lucille and Shanisha and Marion. And your friends too, people around you, Sister Jess and Sister Frances, Donna, and all of them, we need your prayers. Mama used to tell me all the time, you never know whose prayers you're making it on. And folk who may not even know your name know your face, or they know your condition. You do know that Bartimaeus' name wasn't blind. People call him blind, but they knew his condition. And so sometimes people just know your condition. But when they pray, God knows your case. God got your file right there going, yep, I know that one. And if you pray for folk, you've done something. Amen. Pray for your enemies. Ain't no need us protesting this here, President. Pray for me. I ain't got the shoes nor the foot power to be walking with no sign.
But I can pray. And I can pray any kind of way I want. And ain't got to argue with nobody. But pray for people. And you're right. Remember them. Remember. And one more thing. Mean what you pray. I didn't say be mean when you pray. I say mean what you pray. Be sincere. See Sister Nowlin's face and Shanisha's face. See. And say, Lord, that lady, she's a sweet lady. Add something to your prayers. Yeast them up a little bit with God. Say, you know, Lord, that lady was nice to me. Yeah. That's what I do when I pray for people. I always try to put a little Lucky Charms in with it. You know, because I tell God what they mean to me. I tell God I'd miss people if they weren't there. When I'm praying for services on Sunday, I always tell God that I'd miss certain people. I call their names and look forward to seeing them, even if they're not here today. Every Sunday, I pray the same prayer. Lord, send folk that your room is filled with people who love you. And Lord, I start naming folk, you know, because I want him to know I love them. I figure if I love them, he love them too. That's a double bonus right there in their favor. You ain't got to call and say, I prayed for you today, but you didn't show up. You ain't got to do that. Just keep doing it and watch what God's going to do. Amen. If you're feeling not well today, if you've got some big things coming up, let the Lord know that you trust him with it. If you've got some really good stuff happening, income tax check came the other day, and you've been in Home Depot, and you've been in Best Buy, and you finally bought that big TV. Good, bless you. But your tithe ought to reflect that. Amen. You got that. I pulled up the other day and saw a new vehicle out there that I'd never seen before. I said, the Lord is still blessing. I'm going to find out who it belonged to. And then I'm going to go get your tithe report and I'm going to hold it up and say, oh, no. No, don't let no car payment outweigh your tithe. But I see God's been good to some folk. Amen. And some of y'all are bouncing back and God is doing it. Amen. So trust the Lord again. Amen. Thank you for coming, sir. You strike a good presence with me today. I just want to let you know that. Thank you for coming. Amen. I appreciate you being here. Yes. I saw somebody's hand go up. Was somebody high-fiving or waving? Dave's down there doing what? Just come on with it one more time. Let me hear that. They just kicking it out. I got you. I got you. Yes, ma'am. Very good. I know you probably noticed the other day on the report with that school bus accident down yonder. Thank God there were no children on that bus. Stuff like that, so, you know, you tell God thank you. Someone did lose their life, but you got to tell God thank you. And then there's a deputy. You all know me, being a former trooper, I always concern myself when law enforcement personnel lose their life. A young deputy, 32 years old, lost his life. Been to Afghanistan and Iraq and dies in a motor vehicle crash, chasing somebody who don't want to pull over. It's tough. So y'all pray for that family and so many others all over this world that need our prayers. Stuff's happening every day. And a lot of it don't make no sense. Unexplainable, but trust the Lord. Amen. You're too young to have to sit down. Get back on your feet. Shouldn't be wearing them shoes. That's what happened. Amen. Squeeze that hand. Show them life and power. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now. Sister Francis, Sister Shanisa, Sister Marion, Sister Lucille, the Robinson family, for a granddaughter, for families who are traveling, for friends and neighbors.